T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
And thank you all for being here. So it is my pleasure to announce that the 2020 All-Star Game will be coming here to Chicago, Illinois.
Chicago, you know, it means a lot more to us because we are a basketball city. Man, we are the mecca of basketball, and you can quote me on that.
I was here in 1988 attending law school when the All-Star Game was last year.
Michael Jordan.
The crowd has some influence on the judges on that last dunk.
Now the crowd lets you know what they think of it. They gave him a 50. They gave Jordan a 50. He defends his championship.
The mecca of basketball is absolutely Chicago players. You know, New York gets all the rub, which I don't get. But Chicago is the same.
When I was younger, we had Michael Jordan. He was the ultimate influence. And now you have guys like D. Rose.
Lead pass. Rose.
Kid is. He's from Chicago. He has a 40-inch vertical.
For us to come out, rain, sleep, snow, go out there and grind. I remember the days I used to go out there and grind in the snow. You know, it just shows the passion for the game.
The killer crossover. The killer crossover. Oh, brother.
So our final competitor, Kendall Gill. Kendall Gill loves to dunk with his left hand. We've seen some similar styles of that kind of dunk from Michael Jordan in the past.
You know, I can't think of a better town to have an All-Star game. I think Chicago is iconic when it comes to sports, certainly iconic when it comes to basketball.
The Chicago Bulls welcome the world's greatest fans to the United Center.
No doubt some of the best basketball that's ever taken place has happened here in Chicago.
And the United Center, as loud as it's been all night.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Good evening to you. That's Chris Tannehill, the best in the business, setting us
all right,
up
guys.
Right here on 670 The Score. We are live at Bandit 841 West Randolph. Thank you to Budweiser for having us here. Somebody's going to win a couple tickets to NBA All-Star Saturday night. Got to be here to win at 6 o'clock. We'll do a raffle right around then. It is Matt Spiegel, David Haw, and Kendall Gill in for McNeil and Parkins this afternoon, and we have been having some fun. This city deserves to have an All-Star game, deserves to have an All-Star weekend, and it is finally here, David.
The United Center deserves to have some excitement in that building, in those walls, because it's been a long winter for the Chicago Bulls, and it's been a long winter for basketball fans around here. But this is fun because the anticipation, all of the people, the celebrities, the basketball world are here. Kendall, the dunk contest, I heard that intro and they said Kendall Gill likes to slam with his left hand.
Yeah. I competed in a dunk contest my rookie year, and I can remember I had a photo of it, which is really nice, but I didn't advance to the next round. I can remember being really nervous, you know.
Who were you against?
I was
that
would have
been
Sean
1990
Kemp. Sean Kemp, oh my good friend D. Brown, who won it, who rubs it in my face all of the time.
D. Brown covered his eyes.
Pumping up his Reeboks.
Right.
You know, so Kenny Smith was in it. Rex Chapman was in it. So, you know, he had some pretty good dunkers, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, the evolution of the dunk has come a long way, because if you look at it back then, the dunks that we were doing back then couldn't compete with what Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon and all these guys are doing now. But the one thing I have this debate all the time with my friends. They say, well, who's the best in-game dunker of all time? And immediately, Vince Carter. But I think it's Sean Kemp.
Oh yeah,
Sean Kemp is. I mean, I was there to see it firsthand, man.
I couldn't get enough of watching him finish. Just he got so high,
so explosive,
and everything was so powerful every single time.
Yeah, and he would do a dunk when you didn't think that he was going to do it. Like he would be caught up under the rim and then somehow get around and dunk the basketball.
I saw one of the dunks that Zach LaVine was caught on tape yesterday. Practicing, and it's why, again, I think he's going to somehow end up being a part of the dunk contest.
I hope so. Let's go, Zach.
I mean, Aaron Gordon is there.
You sound like you know something, Speaks.
I don't. It's just, it makes all the sense of the world. It's here in Chicago. The man was practicing three different dunks. Aaron Gordon is there, and that might have been the best dunk contest ever, him and Aaron Gordon going against each other in 2016. But one of the ones that Zach was trying is a 360 from the free throw line.
And he did that, I think, in Brooklyn, right? I think he did the same dunk. So.
But that and I saw it written about today that Dr. J always said that was the one, that's like the dream. Can you do a 360 from the free throw line? I wonder why that particular one would stand out for the Doc and for others.
Well, because jumping from the free throw line and dunking the basketball is one of the most difficult things ever. Not too many NBA players can do it. I attempted to do it once, and I did it once, but it was in high school, and I was never able to achieve it again. And you know, but you got guys like Zach that can do it on the regular. I mean, they can do it without warming up. And you know, I think that if Zach does compete, then he holds that in his back pocket.
How many times did a young Kendall Gill mimic Dr. J going one-handed behind the basket, underneath, and then scooping up on the reverse layup? Or other things that Julius Erving did. He was as graceful of a superstar as the NBA probably has seen. This was a guy who was as explosive but elegant at the same time.
Explosive and elegant, a gentleman. Everybody wanted to wear the Converse that he wore. Everybody wore their socks up high like the doctor did. The one dunk that I think that sticks out in my mind with him is when he was on the fast break against the Los Angeles Lakers and Michael Cooper is there and he rocked the cradle with it.
Yep.
That's the Dr. J dunk that everybody talks about. And, you know, I remember me trying to imitate that dunk. You know, I remember seeing you guys, and I'm getting ready to go deep on you guys here, but when Ty Corbin was with the DePaul Blue Demons, he did a cuff dunk. And it was on ABC. They ran a loop on it, and it was a commercial. And I tried to imitate that dunk all the time in high school because of Dr. J and because of Ty Corbin. And, you know, that was my dunk in high school. I used to cuff dunk all the time.
That begs one question, Kendall. Why did you not end up at DePaul?
I wanted to go to DePaul.
You did?
I really did. I wanted to go to DePaul. And here's another Kendall story, man. So I had broken down to five schools. I was going to DePaul, Illinois, Michigan State, Clemson, and Iowa State. I go up to DePaul for my visit, and I remember the assistant coach was Jim Pratt, and Joey Meyer was the coach at that time. So they acted like, you know, my visit, they didn't show very much interest in me. So, you know, I left disappointed. I went excited, but I came back disappointed. If they had offered me a scholarship right there, I would have signed with DePaul.
So they blew it in recruiting. They did not recruit you to make you feel special the way people need to make recruits feel special in
right.
that process.
They made me feel like I was just a guy they were bringing
just
in.
Just a guy.
Just a guy. But, you know, but it all turned out right. I was supposed to go to Illinois. I was supposed to be in Illini.
How'd that ever turn out?
Yeah, it turned out okay.
Those teams were so much fun. The Flying Illini, you and Kenny Battle and Nick Anderson and Bardo and Lowell Hamilton and Marcus Liberty and like just this unbelievable pile of talent. And and we were talking during the break about that Syracuse team that you guys beat.
Yeah.
To get to the Final Four, you say that's the best
college basketball team I've ever played against.
That's Sherman Douglas.
Sherman Douglas, Derek Coleman. Billy Owens, who was the third pick in the draft as well, Matt Rowe, Stevie Thompson, those guys gave us a run for our money.
But you got them, and then you get to the Final Four, and does it still sit in you that because you guys had Michigan, you took care of them.
Yeah, you
took care of them all year long.
Oh, way
and
to go,
there, there they were.
Yeah, for I didn't watch that game until after I retired from the NBA because that's how much it hurt.
Wow.
You know, I didn't want to watch it. And one day I decided, okay, I'm ready to watch it. So I watch it, and immediately I call Steve Bardo up. And I said, you know, we beat ourselves in this game.
Damn.
You know, because we had blown Michigan out twice
yep.
that year. And, you know, for some reason, we just, I know what it was, and Steve disagrees with me on that, but I think as a whole, because we had beaten Michigan twice and beaten them handily, that we were looking past them. We said, we're playing Duke in the national championship game. And that's why we went out and we were lackadaisical and we didn't play the game that we should have played. And still, I believe we still only lost by 2 points.
I mean, it's not like that's a bad team, though. I mean, that's Ramil Robinson and
they had pros. They had
Glenn Rice.
They had Lloyd Vaughn,
Terry
Mills.
Rice,
Terry
yeah.
Mills. They had a lot of
all kinds of pros.
Yeah.
And
great team.
And Nick Anderson, who I believe is one of the best rebounders of all time and who I believe is the best player in Illinois history, for 1 second misses a block box out on Sean Higgins. And I think that one play, you know, cost us the national championship.
So, Kendall, you had to fly in Illini when you were there. And then in 2005, they go to the Final Four in St. Louis and they're the runner-up. And there's been some lean years since. But this year's team looks like it has recaptured something. It looks like a team that the guys like you who built and were part of that Illini tradition could be proud of. What do you think this year's team's potential is when you look at it?
I think that they can go to the tournament. I think that we will be in the tournament. We've lost 3 games in a row, I believe. Right now, we just lost the last one to Michigan State. But I love the young talent that we have. You know, Ayo Dosunmu had a freak. I'm glad it's not. I had a freak injury.
His knee came down awkward.
It came down awkwardly, but, you know, there was no structural damage. So I think that he is one of the better players on that team, and also Kofi, our big man. You know, they have the makings of a team that can really do some things in the NCAA tournament, and I'm glad that now we're relevant again. You know, because before I listened to you guys' shows and everything on 670 to score and everything, and they said, you know, Illinois is a mid-major now. This was a couple years ago when I listened to
the show. John Gross era?
Yeah, in the John Gross era. And,
you know, nice guy, but, you know, as a coach, man.
Yeah, I like John. John's my friend, but, you know, unfortunately he wasn't able to get the job done. But, you know, that hurts as a player from Illinois. We had such a rich tradition, and now people look at it as a mid-major, but now we're right back on the map. And, you know, we signed Adam Miller from Morgan Park this year. And I think now, you know how, guys, we used to get all of the talent in the Chicagoland area?
Yeah.
I think that it's going back to that.
Well, Ayo's a great example.
Yeah, Ayo's a great
Morgan
example.
Park, you know, the pipeline. Yep. You know, down to Champaign, and that is important to, you know, recruit those kids who are special and can change your program.
Well, it used to be that, you know, Jimmy Collins, Lou Henson would send Jimmy Collins up here, and he was part of the pipeline.
Collins is the man. I love him. I love Jimmy Collins like a father, and he did so much for our program. He also had Ben Wilson, the late great Ben Wilson, who tragically was shot and killed many years ago. But Ben was going to go to the University of Illinois. And, I mean, can you imagine what we'd have been like with Ben Wilson, too? You know,
Isn't it interesting? We've been sitting here a lot today talking about the Bulls and, like, kind of the disconnect between the Bulls organization and this incredible basketball city. Mm-hmm. And in this state, it has been the way, a little bit less so now. But, Dave, remember a couple years ago, there were 57 players from the state of Illinois in the NCAA tournament, and there were zero teams.
Absolutely,
from the state,
Matt,
of Illinois.
That's a really good point. I think it's a bigger indictment on the college programs to kind of neglect the recruiting of those kids in the city more than you can hold the Bulls responsible for not having, you know, to be able to attract free agents who might be from Chicago. I think it's a bigger...
The fact that the universities have not done it it doesn't even make any sense.
DePaul really hasn't, and you look at Loyola, their success during the Final Four run, they had some you know, local kids as well that helped them, but Illinois is just getting back to that. I think
we're just getting back to it. I'll tell you another thing, and I've said this many times. When we grew up, my generation and generations before us, Eddie Johnson, Ephraim Winters, Bruce Douglas, we grew up watching the state tournament at the Assembly Hall, which is now the State Farm Center.
Mm-hmm.
We aspired to play in that building. We want to go downstate. We want to get in and play in that building. And I think that growing up, when you get an opportunity to play there and aspire to get downstate, that you want to play for Illinois. And I think that, you know, they moved the state tournament to where I-State or Bradley. That doesn't bode well for our recruiting program.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's a big reason, along with Jimmy Collins, a recruiter of the caliber of Jimmy Collins not being there, I think that's the reason why our program fell off for so long.
Well, we are fixing all kinds of things. here today. You know, I feel like we fixed the Bulls a little bit earlier. Maybe we should tell people how we did that again, just to remind them. And we're about to fix the entire basketball state of Illinois. Opening bell is brought to you by our CarX Tire and Auto. Get a full-service oil change for $18.99 at CarX Tire and Auto. A few more segments with Kendall Gill and David Hall right here on McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Just a few minutes before you said, I didn't say it didn't impact the game. You said it didn't impact the game. That's Jim Crane, the owner of the Houston Astros. They came out yesterday, guys, and tried to apologize and or sweep away this horrific cheating scandal. And they only made things worse.
They did.
Day long.
Without question, Matt. We talked about it this morning on Mully and Haw. I think that was this morning. But it was a case of the more you watched for me and the more that I heard, the madder I got, and the more that I felt like there needed to be even more retribution and discipline. Because there's nothing worse in sports than when a team cheats its way to success. Mm-hmm. And Kendall, I just wonder, is there a basketball equivalent? Because this was technology being used to decipher pitches and to know that a fastball is going to be a fastball and you could sit on it all day long. I don't know what the equivalent would be from basketball, number one. And number two, as a former professional athlete, mm-hmm. how do you think the Astros will be viewed now throughout Major League Baseball? Will they ever regain the respect they lost after this scandal?
No, they won't. They won't gain the respect because everybody looks at them as cheaters now. You know, and as far as being seeing a basketball equivalent, I've never seen it in basketball where you can steal signs and know what's coming and everything. So, you know, baseball is a lot different than basketball in that regard. I mean, it's very hard to do it in basketball. I mean, you just got to go mano a mano with basketball.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it would be, right? In the NFL, you've had some with Spygate where they're taking signals that they're getting from the sidelines. But there's no sport really has the guessing game like that,
right?
Like baseball does. I mean, if in the NBA you are smart enough to say, "Oh, they're probably going to run that same inbounds play,"
exactly,
then you're just smart enough and you just scouted well. That's all. I mean, have you ever played against anybody or with somebody who you knew was a cheater? Like, I don't even know how that would manifest in the NBA.
Well, no, but I know of. Some things, some stories, and you know, I'm not going to give my source away, but he did play with Michael, and you guys know how at the United Center how they have all the races on the board.
Yeah,
you know where the donuts are racing or the cups of coffee are racing. And
cup of coffee,
The
cups of coffee are racing around. So my source told me he happens to work with me at NBC anyway, so I'm going to give him away. So Will told me that Michael used to pay the guys to tell him who was going to win, and then he would bet all the players in the locker room.
Oh, my God.
Who would win the races.
That,
and they never could figure it out.
That is so Jordan.
You got to respect that at some level.
Win. He needed to win the
he
Dunkin'
needed to win
Donuts
that
race.
Bad. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hey, guys, listen to this. I don't know if you've heard this or if our listeners have not. It's just an example of how the players in MLB feel, because that's the other thing that's been happening over the last couple of days. All these different spring trainings opening up, everybody talking about it, reacting. Listen to Cody Bellinger of the Los Angeles Dodgers talk about how they view the Astros. And I want to get, Kendall, your thoughts as a professional athlete, how you would feel. This is Cody Bellinger earlier today talking about the Astros.
About the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us. I know personally I lost respect for those guys. I think I would say everyone in the show and the big leagues lost respect for those guys. I don't know what human hits a walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman to send your team to the World Series. And one has the thought to say, don't rip my jersey off, but two, go in the tunnel, change your shirt, and then come out and do your interview. Like, that makes no sense to me. It makes zero sense to me, because I know me. Gary Sanchez said yesterday, you can rip my shirt off, my pants off. I sent my team the World Series off for Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning at home. You can do, you know, I'm going crazy.
That's Cody Bellinger. He stole an MVP, stole rings from us. Everybody in the show has lost respect for them. How do those guys go on and play the rest of their career getting looks like this from everybody in MLB?
Time will take care of some of that, but I don't know that you're ever going to outgrow that stigma or get away from that if for some members of that 2017 Astros team or that 2017, 2018, 2019 era in Astros baseball, just because, Kendall, it's so indelible, that that mark that left on the game, on the franchise, and on the players who helped them win this faux championship.
You're absolutely right. They will never get rid of the stigma. I go back because, you know, you guys know I call boxing fights for Premier Boxing in the summertime. But
yeah.
I go back to a fight specifically, Miguel Cotto against Antonio Margarito, where Miguel Cotto was beat almost senseless. Both of these guys, undefeated fighters. Miguel Cotto was a rising star, got beat almost senseless, and later on they found out that Miguel Cotto had cast in his gloves, and he almost ruined Miguel Cotto.
Yeah. He had plaster in
he
his
had gloves? Plaster. Plaster Paris in his gloves.
Man.
So Miguel Cotto will go down in history as a total cheat. He will never forget the stigma in the histories of boxing, and I think that the Astros are going to suffer the same fate.
They are. They are. Yeah. I think they absolutely are. You know, because this is a team that we looked at the past 3 years and said, man, they strike out so little in a league that is just filled with strikeouts. How are these guys doing it?
Figured
how are they
it out,
doing
huh?
it? Now yeah. we know how they're
right.
doing
now
it.
You know.
So and this whole year, man, they're going to be getting ugly looks. They're going to be getting cold shoulders. They're going to be getting booed. And worse than that, they're probably going to be getting spikes in their legs. They're probably going to be
it's
getting
It's
going
to get dangerous. It's
going
to get ugly.
Them.
You hope it doesn't get to the point where it costs somebody real, you know, time and the fact that they can do what they do for a living. You don't want that to – you're not going to inflict injury on somebody, even though that mm-hmm. is where this seems to be headed. Guys who want to do harm to people who took away what they thought was theirs.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because those guys work so hard all their lives to get to that point.
Yes.
And then to have somebody cheat you and take it away from you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's I can understand that pain. I mean, that's – and, you know, deservingly so, things are going to happen because sometimes – I understand the baseball fraternity is tight and they take care of discipline within their own ranks.
Yeah, you know, so, the dynamic of the locker room is so fascinating because none of those guys stood up. Apparently, Carlos Correa says anyway that none of them stood up and said, hey, guys, we shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
Nobody stood up really and did that.
Peer pressure at its worst because nobody wanted to. Nobody thought that it was egregious enough to take a stand because it was working. That's the thing.
It was
working. They were enjoying success and they were bettering their own careers and they were winning. And that was the bottom line. And it was win at all costs.
Yeah,
and the end justified the means. And that's what's wrong with this, is that what we heard yesterday from Jim Crane, what we heard yesterday from players who weren't contrite at all, was that they didn't learn anything from this.
No.
The penalty wasn't severe enough.
No, David, I absolutely admit that when it happened, I thought, all right, good job, Rob Manfred. He came down hard, and it was they didn't go far enough. They didn't. The organization should have been hammered further. They have not been humbled. The owner has not been humbled. He said at one point, I don't think I should be held accountable. Those words came out of his mouth as an owner. And the new GM, did you guys see the new GM, James Click, the guy from Tampa Bay, he might keep some of the guys in the front office who invented this stuff, Codebreaker. They did it in the front office. They came up with this plan. And he was asked if he was going to keep those guys, and he said, you know, I'll have to take a look at it. And there were follow-up questions and more follow-up questions, but he might keep those guys. You can't do that. They have not been humbled.
The intern that came up with the algorithm, apparently, is now an executive in the organization who has not yet been fired. Maybe that'll happen. Maybe it won't, but there is no accountability. They can't spell it in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Mike Bulsinger is suing them. I'm rooting for that guy. He's a pitcher from Toronto who got his who just got his bell rung and was demoted the next day, and his career is pretty much over. He's suing, and it makes sense to me.
Can we shift gears to another big story of the past week?
Please
do. Time to go back in on Saturday in Bloomington, Indiana, Kendall. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Indiana, you know, so the Indiana Hoosiers welcomed back Bobby Knight after 20 years of a self-imposed exile. Mm-hmm. And there was emotion in the building. There was cheers, there was adoration, adulation, all that you want, as you would expect, for the general back on the court that he helped make kind of legendary.
Right.
My sense is that if you were there, you would not have been standing and cheering. My sense is that you would remember the final game that you played against the Indiana Hoosiers when you needed 2 points to become the Big Ten scoring leader of your senior year in 1990. Yeah. And Bobby Knight and you, Kendall Gill, had a little exchange at the free throw line.
Yeah, no, I would have stood up for him because, you know, I respect
because you're a classy guy.
Yeah, I respect greatness, and I respect what Bobby Knight has done as a coach. But my senior year, the final game of the season, I had just been named All-American the week before, and I was going for the Big Ten scoring title. I needed 2 points to win it. And I know my teammate EJ Maskey is listening right now, so he knows this story as well. But Coach Henson calls a timeout, and he says, okay, guys, we need to get Kendall 2 points. And we're going to run this specific play to get him the basketball. Well, Bobby Knight knew exactly what he was doing.
He knew, too.
And decided to triple-team me so I couldn't get the ball. He didn't want me to get the Big Ten scoring title on his court. So eventually I just find some type of way to get the basketball, and they foul me. So I have to go to the free throw line. You know, he wants to make it hard for me. He doesn't want me to get an easy shot. He wants me to go to the line and earn it. So as I'm walking by, he goes to me, yeah, let's see whether he has All-American balls. That's what Bobby Knight says to me, right?
Wow.
So my mom and dad are sitting there. My brother is sitting there. You know, my teammates, all the Champaign Urbanas watching the game in the Assembly Hall in Indiana. So I go up to the free throw line, and I sink both of them. Those were the hardest free throws I've ever had to take.
Wow.
And with so much pressure on me. And Willie Burton's ahead of me by 2 points, by 1 point, rather. If I don't make these free throws, the Big Ten scoring title goes to him. So, you know, I can still look back, and I can still see that ball going through the net.
And after that went through the net, did you look over at Bobby Knight?
I looked over at Bobby Knight. I shook my fist in the air, and then I turned around, and I looked at him. And, you know, that day I beat Bobby Knight, and I got the scoring title. So I was twice.
A good day's work.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, Indiana was our arch rival, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
those were the days when Lou Henson would call Bobby Knight the classic bully. And those were really good games in that rivalry.
Great games. Jay Edwards, you guys remember when Nick Anderson, Steve Bartle throws the ball half court. Mm-hmm. Nick Anderson grabs and knocks down the half court shot. So we always had great games against the Indiana Hoosiers.
Man, that'd be so fun to get Illinois rolling again, wouldn't it?
We're on our way, baby. We're on our way.
It's a good start. Opening bell is brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto, currently featuring $99 breaks. See the store for details. In the bottom of the hour, brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Remaining home opponents include Illinois, Penn State, and Minnesota. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. One more segment with me, Matt Spiegel, him, David Hall, and him, Kendall Gill, right here on 670 The Score. Going to get some predictions for NBA All-Star Weekend, a little bit of the NBA's second half as well. We'll do that next. Keep it right here on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
First, I want to welcome everyone and tell them to have a fun and safe weekend. But I also want people to leave recognizing that Chicago really is ground zero for all things basketball in the country. You know, the Harlem Globetrotters started here. We've got a long history of producing fabulous talent at every level. We've been putting people into the NBA since the NBA started. So there's a lot of rich basketball history in our city.
That is the mayor of Chicago. That is Lori Lightfoot on The Score today. She was on The Morning Show, which is hosted by Mike Mulligan and David Haw.
Yeah, that was fun this morning.
Who was right here, David Haw, doing double duty today. It was fun. You got to talk to the mayor today.
Yeah, double duty. Yeah, she was great. She was really lively in terms. She had advice for the Bears.
Okay.
She's excited about the White Sox because she's, I think, the season ticket holder, longtime Sox fan.
Yeah.
Excited about having, you know, a role this weekend as sort of the official host of the All-Star Game. Law school classmate of Adam Silver, NBA commissioner. And she just was really relaxed. That was a lot of fun to interview her this morning. That was at 8 o'clock. I tried to book Governor Pritzker for this show, but fell through, guys. Sorry.
That's all right. Well done. Well done. You know, Lori Lightfoot, trumpet player, by the way. And in the 90s,
the music stuff.
Well, but awesome. But here's the thing. Like, I was part of a band called Brother Brother in the 90s with my brother, and we had big old horn section and women singing backup and that kind of thing. And there was a whole scene of, like, funk bands like that. And Lori Lightfoot, I didn't know it at the time, but she was in one of them. I saw her play at the Elbow Room.
That's something else. Yeah.
I saw her play at the Elbow Room in that basement club, and she has played there. And she played there in the 90s. So you never know, man, who you are hanging around with
about
in
that.
20, 30 years.
I
they might be running
the city. I should have known you would have a musical reference and a musical experience to top my mayoral interview.
Not trying to top.
That was
you're
good, though.
One,
it was good.
You're the one who talked to the mayor. Well, that's pretty. Well, she's right, right? I mean, this is a serious basketball mecca, and we deserve this All-Star game this weekend.
We do, and you know, I get into whenever I'm around him. I'm with Kenny Smith, Reggie Miller. We get into the debate of who is the mecca: New
right.
York, California, Chicago. But I think we win hands down. You look at all of the draft picks that we've put into the league, all of the number ones. You look at Anthony Davis, Mark Aguirre, Derrick Rose. You look at Dwayne Wade. And then all of the guys behind him, the Mike McFinleys, the Nick Anderson, you know, and go all the way back to Cassie Russell.
So if it's the Mecca, is it because of the strength of the Chicago Public League or just the area, high school basketball? Because you spent a lot of time in New Jersey,
yeah,
and you're familiar with the New York area. Is that more of a playground kind of, at least reputation? How is New York different than Chicago in terms of producing talent and how they produce the talent?
I think that here in Chicago, basketball is religion. In New York, you know, kids play, you know, and, you know, they produce Rod Strickland, who's the best point guard that I've ever played with, Stephon Marbury, Kenny Smith. You know, they take basketball seriously out there, you know, because I spent a lot of time in New York. I used to live in New York when I played for Jersey. I don't live in Jersey. I live in Manhattan, so I got to see firsthand. But here, it's like when you are born, you are put a basketball is put in your hand here in the city of Chicago. And we take rivalries seriously. You know, back when, before they had four classes, you always wanted to see that school, what school was going to come out of the city to go downstate, what suburban team was going to go downstate and get out of the suburbs in the super sectional, whether a team like Steve Bartos in Carbondale could
right.
beat a team here in Chicago. I mean, these are the things that bring up these players. We have such a rich tradition. When kids now, say, for instance, my son's age, who's 13, they aspire to be a Derrick Rose. They aspire to be an Anthony Davis. So, you know, I think that because of the number of players that we put in the league, because of the number of players that we have in college basketball right now, because of the number of players that we have that are McDonald's All-Americans right now from the city of Chicago, this tradition is going to keep going on.
Best point guard in the history of this town. Who is it, Kendall Gill? I mean, Derrick Rose is there, but Doc Rivers?
Nah, it's Derrick. I mean, Doc Rivers, I love Doc.
Isaiah Thomas?
I love Doc, but I have to go with Isaiah
it's
Thomas.
It's got to be Isaiah, right?
Yeah, because Isaiah has won two championships.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer. As a matter of fact, my all-Chicago team was Mark Aguirre, Dwayne Wade, Isaiah Thomas, Terry Cummings, and Anthony Davis. That's my top five.
Cassie Russell?
I understand the Cassie Russell.
I mean, you got to ask that question if you're leaving him off your top five, right? That's the first question you ask.
That's the first question. But see, I didn't get a chance to see Cassie.
I know.
Play.
I
got a chance to see.
I didn't either, Kendall. I mean, but I have to ask that because when you see these lists, he's always on it, right?
He's always on. He's on my next five.
All right, gentlemen. The skills challenge on Saturday night. I'll go ahead and take Patrick Beverly. I won't ask you for a prediction there. I mean, if you got one, you're welcome to. They're your competitors for the skills challenge. But Patrick Beverly won it in 2015. So he's got a chance to win it again.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Patrick Beverly, too. I always go with the hometown guy.
Three-point contest. Zach is in it. We know. Is Zach going to win the three-point contest?
It's tough to win your first time in it.
Trae Young is in this contest.
I'm going with Trae Young. I wanted the Bulls to get him. I love watching him play. He's one of those guys. If I were making a top five list of guys I would go out of my way to watch the NBA. I think he's on it.
Hey, I don't know if you guys are going tonight to the Rising Stars thing, but Luka Doncic and Trae Young going against each other tonight. Yeah. That's pretty fun, with Zion and Ja Morant, of course, as well.
You remember in the draft when Atlanta and Dallas were like – Well, who should we take?
Yeah.
I think both of them came out pretty
Both of them came out well, and the Bulls are sitting there at seven, and I'm thinking, can one of those guys drop? But there's no way.
God.
But I think Trae Young I'll take for the three-point.
All right, well, see, I got Davis Bertans, Washington.
I'm going with Bertans, too.
Right, see?
I'm going with Bertans,
That's
too, man.
The
guy can shoot, David.
He's got
no conscience whatsoever, and it's incredibly quick little release.
That's the release. I mean, it's the release is the thing.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, that's not a bad one.
All right, I love Davis Bertans in that. And then Pat Connaughton, Aaron Gordon, Dwight Howard, Derek Jones Jr. are your dunk contestants, unless Zach surprises and gets in there somehow.
Aaron Gordon, I'm going with him all the way. I know Dwight Howard is coming back trying to put on the Superman cape, but dunking has evolved since he won the dunk contest. So I think that Aaron Gordon, if he has the guy on that, whatever that scooter is, again, the mascot, he does that again. I mean, he wins hands down.
I'm going for the upset. I'm going for the upset. I'm going for the domer. Pat Connaughton is a guy with some hops, some serious hops, and he's going to be creative. He's going to look at this as the highlight of his season. Uh-huh. I know he's playing for the Bucks. They might be in the NBA Finals, but Pat Connaughton is going to come ready, prepared to win, and I think he will.
I like a guy that takes a risk.
Yeah.
But I don't like it this time.
Man, I used to.
That'll do it.
Dwight Howard, I can't believe he's back in there and back playing the way he's playing, too.
Oh, he's good.
It's a big part of what they do.
He's doing very
there.
Well for the Los Angeles Lakers. And, you know, I think that he knew that this was his last chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that he possibly could be a future Hall of Famer. But, you know, when you know that this is your last chance, you act right.
Yeah,
and he's been acting right with the Los Angeles Lakers.
I want to thank Budweiser for having us here. This Bud's for the home team. If you have not been here to Bandit, it is a retro-inspired restaurant, an oasis for sports lovers, upscale versions of American comfort foods, exciting cocktails. It's beautiful here. So thank you. Thank you to everyone here at Bandit, 841 West Randolph.
They were great.
A pleasure to be here. David Haw, thanks so much for coming in, man.
Thanks for having me. And Kendall, thank you for being here. This was enjoyable to hear story after story. It was great. Love your work you do at NBC Sports Chicago. And just keep up the good work.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you having me. This is the first time that I've been on radio and been a co-host on this. So this is a brand new thing for me. Thanks for making it easy.
Kendall, an absolute pleasure. Great stuff from Kendall Gill all day long. If you missed the podcast, go back, check out the 4 o'clock hour, especially stories and stories and stories. Thank you, Nick Shepkowski. Thank you, Rich Wyatt. Thank you, Ryan, the entire promotions team. And thank you, Chris Tannehill, back at the shop. Much appreciated. You guys are the best. And Casey Johnson was on the show. Elgin Baylor was on the show. Chris Layden from SeatGeek was on the show. We thank them. Brian Gertsch as well. And Tanny, Shane Reardon, Julio Iglesias. Not Rousseau. Pretty sure it's Julio Rousseau. Yeah, or Iglesias. I want to thank Jose Iglesias as well. Thank you to everybody. Have a wonderful evening. Have a great All-Star weekend. I'm on tomorrow, by the way. Bruce Levine and I on Inside the Clubhouse tomorrow morning, and then with Steve Rosenblum after that. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Twitter world, yours truly. Well, it's been quite a week, you know.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.